Welcome to the Victory Family Church podcast. Thanks for joining us today. For sermon notes and videos related to this message, please visit media@victory.com.
This morning, I want to start a three-week series called The Other Baptism. I think pretty much everybody's pretty much familiar with water baptism. But, you know, a lot of Christians are completely unfamiliar with the baptism you just heard about in Acts chapter 19. It's a very interesting day in the life of the Apostle Paul. And it was about him coming to bring the gospel to a part of the world that had never heard the gospel before. And it was the city of Ephesus. It was a coastal city. It was a very dark city. I mean, very ungodly. So Paul went there, and the Bible said he found 12 men, and he thought they were followers of Jesus. And so he asked them a question. He said, "Have you received the Holy Spirit since you believed?" In the Bible, you'll find the principle of first. What is mentioned first is always so important. And the first thing, not the second, third, or fourth, Paul wanted to know from these what he believed were followers of Jesus. He asked a question. And this is the question I want you to ask today. Have you received the Holy Spirit since you believed? Now they answered him and said, "We've not even heard whether there is a Holy Spirit." Then Paul said, "Well, then what baptism were you baptized?" And they said, "We were baptized with the baptism of John." Well, Paul said, "Well, wait a minute. That baptism was one of repentance. And that was when John was baptizing out in the River Jordan. But he was pointing to the one Jesus who would follow after him." And Paul taught them the way of Christ. And the Bible said they gladly received Christ and then were water baptized. After they were water baptized, the Bible said Paul laid his hands on them. And the Holy Spirit came upon them. And they spoke with tongues and prophesied. One of the things I've learned being a Christian these many years, when it comes to understanding the person, the power, and the work of the Holy Spirit, is that Christians get nervous about this, particularly if you talk about speaking in tongues. People think, "Well, that's just weird." Can I encourage you to just understand? It's fine to not have an understanding or be ignorant of a subject, but never call something that Jesus brings to people weird. Now, can I say this very honestly? Sometimes people are just weird. How many of you know people can be weird? How many of you know everybody has just someone in their family just a little weird? No? You say, "Well, I don't have any in my family that's weird." Well, you're probably the weird one then. But sometimes what happens when somebody gets a hold of God or gets filled with the Holy Spirit, they run that through the filter of how they see life. And sometimes people can be a little odd. But you know what? God loves odd people. He loves you and me. We're all a little, you know, all of us have a little bend somewhere. All of our branches ain't straight. Some of them's crooked, right? But here's the reality of this. Don't push away from God because of fear you might have or ignorance you might have or something you saw another person do. I'm talking to you tonight or today about God, the Holy Spirit. This is God, the Holy Spirit. Because I had people say to me, and I understand what they mean. They just kind of don't understand, or they're afraid, or they say, "Well, you know, I love Jesus and everything, but I don't know that I want that Holy Spirit thing." Well, God's not a thing. God, the Holy Spirit. Jesus, in fact, said this about the Holy Spirit. He said, it is to your advantage. It is expedient for you that I go away. Because if I don't go, the Comforter, which is the Holy Spirit, will not come to you. And so Jesus actually talked about the necessity of the work of the Holy Spirit in the life of the believer. He was adamant about it. Every Christian should hunger for an intimate relationship with the person of the Holy Spirit. That's what we're going to be talking about these next 3 weeks, giving you the opportunity actually to receive the Holy Spirit. I try to ask these three questions every time we meet together. What is God saying to you today? Secondly, what is your next step based on what He's speaking to your heart? And then thirdly, who can you help to bring into that place that God's helping you? That's exactly what happened at the church at Ephesus when there was no church there. Paul came, and the first question he asked what he thought were believers were, "Hey, have you received the Holy Spirit since you've been a believer?" That's the question I'm asking you today. And once you understand what I'm truly asking, if the answer is no, then your next step is to receive. And then you know what happened with those 12 men in Ephesus? In 3.5 years, Ephesus had 25,000 people in the church. I get such a kick out of people. They say, "Well, you know, these mega churches." Bless their heart. We've existed 23 years. And it's taken us 23 years to get to where we haven't got to where the Ephesians church got in 3.5 years. 25,000 people came to that church. That made us look like we were just a little corner church with 3 people in it. It isn't about numbers, but numbers are people. Jesus died for the whole world. And as believers, we need to understand that God, the Holy Spirit, wants to have an intimate relationship with you. And so I want you to answer. See, don't come to church just to kind of do the church gig and go home. I believe when you come to church, God wants to change my life and your life. And many of you experience water baptism. And by the way, now at the end of every month, starting next month, we're going to have a water baptism service at the end of the month that will actually be tagged to the back of the service. We'll explain it later. So if you didn't get water baptized, you have the opportunity to do it every month. We'll talk to you later about that. But the baptism, and by the way, what we're talking to you about today, we're going to give you that opportunity at the end of every month, so that everybody continually has the opportunity to be baptized with the Holy Spirit. But you might be here today and say, you know, Pastor John, that tongues thing it just wigs me out a little. I just got to be honest. I understand. I was raised as a Catholic kid, and this is I'm not speaking derogatorily in any way against the way I was raised, but we never read the Bible. I mean, we never, ever read the Bible. So I didn't know anything about God in the sense from His Word, what you could maybe pick up here or there, but I was never taught the Bible. But I did know the Holy Spirit was good. And here's how I knew it. As Catholic people, we prayed, and every time we prayed, we would do this: in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Amen. And then we pray a prayer. Every time you eat, you prayed a prayer. And I ate a lot. In the name of the Father, Son, Holy Spirit, amen. Bless us, O Lord, and these thy gifts, which we are about to receive from thy bounty, through Christ our Lord, amen. In the name of the Father, Son, Holy Spirit, amen. Now, I have to be honest. I have to be full disclosure. That sounds like a normal praying person. That's not how I prayed it as a kid. I wanted to beat my brothers to the food. And if any of you remember, some of you that have no Catholic background, bless your heart, you have no idea what those of us who do will understand right now. And you say, will you explain it to us? No. Let the ignorant be ignorant still, the Bible says. Never mind. But now I'm just teasing. How many of you remember doing one of these? Father, Son, Holy Spirit, bless you, Lord, amen. Eat. Anybody ever do that? Am I the only honest one here in the house of Jesus? Hallelujah. But I knew the Holy Spirit was good. And I was never afraid of that name. Because I never experienced maybe some of the things others have seen or had heard or others had done. Well, John the Baptist began to point to this experience while he was baptizing people. And I'm going to read it to you in Mark chapter 1. Now, John was a wild guy. The Bible said he was clothed with camel's hair and with a leather belt around his waist, and he ate locust and wild honey. Now, guys, can you imagine going to see a preacher dressed in camel's hair with a leather belt, and all he ate was honey and locust? He was some sort of vegan, evidently. I don't know. But that's a pretty wild diet. And he preached, saying this: there comes one after me who's mightier than I, whose sandal strap I'm not worthy to stoop down and to loosen. I indeed baptize you with water, but he, Jesus, will baptize you with the Holy Spirit. The word baptized means to be fully immersed. He's saying, I'm immersing you in water, a water of a repentance of sin. But the one coming after me, Jesus, wants to fully, listen to me, fully immerse you in the person of God, the Holy Spirit. Let me talk to you. Each week I'm going to give you more scripture to help you understand, what is the purpose of this daily relationship I'm to have with the Holy Spirit? Now, let me say this as we get into the issue. We'll mention the speaking with tongues thing here in a minute. The Bible says when you speak in an unknown tongue, you don't speak to men, but you speak to God. In fact, he said that you speak to God divine secrets. The Bible said when you pray in an unknown tongue, your mind or understanding is unfruitful. The Bible says when you pray in the Spirit, your spirit is actually praying. The scripture says that when we don't know what to pray for as we ought to, we can pray out of our inward man in other tongues and pray the perfect will of God. It's one of the most incredible devotional aspects of your life as a Christian. And I really have to tell you this. I can't imagine not having a daily part of my life being able to worship God and pray out things in other tongues. You say, well, Well, Pastor John, that kind of makes me nervous. Why don't you do it a lot in church? Because the Bible said, I would rather speak 5 words by my own understanding for you to understand than 10,000 words in an unknown tongue. It's not for public consumption. Now, there's a portion of the gifts of the Spirit that go that way, but I don't have time to get into that. But I want you to see this primarily today as you being filled with the Spirit, being able to have an intimacy with the Holy Spirit of God, and actually having the capacity to pray beyond your own understanding, and even the ability to pray out a supply of the Holy Spirit into the future. Michelle and I for years have been praying over our kids and their futures, their future spouses. We don't know what to pray about that. We don't know the details of anybody's lives. We don't even know what our kids' lives would look like in 10, 15 years. But we could pray it in the Spirit. And can I give you just a little hint, and we'll get a little bit more into this. Do you know that you can pray in the Spirit? And you can pray a supply of God's Spirit, the enablement of God into the future. And do you know that when time catches up to your prayer, you or someone you love can walk right into a supply of God? Amen. What an incredible thing that's available to you and me. One of the greatest things the Holy Spirit does to us is that He reveals what we need and teaches us intimately. Has anybody ever been to the Hoover Dam in Nevada? Michelle and I have been there with the kids, and at the bottom, when they take you down to the bottom, there's these huge turbine things that the water turns, and it makes 11 million kilowatts of electricity every day. But the average home only uses 30. So the Holy Spirit, and what they do out of that place is they pour out this massive amount of electricity. But can I tell you that if you brought into your home a line that carried 11 million kilowatts of electricity, it would literally blow your house up. See, the Holy Spirit of God doesn't completely reveal the full person of God in all that God is in my life. It's actually more like electricity when you think of it this way. Electricity, for it to be useful, has to be transformed into usable pieces. In fact, they're called transformers. The higher capacity of electricity goes into the transformer, it changes it into a usable portion for someone like me in my home or in this church. And the line comes out of there here, but in a usable portion. That's what the Holy Spirit does. He takes the fullness of God and He transforms the peace you need. He speaks to you, a lady here, a man there, a young man here, an older woman there, someone who's suffering with addiction, someone who's been abused, someone who is so in regret because of the poor choices they feel they made and they can't forgive themselves, another person bound up with pride, everybody in the same room, and yet the Holy Spirit can take a message from a human being and He will transform for you to hear what you need to hear. I've had people, not once, not twice, I can't remember the amount of times, someone would come up to me and show me what they wrote down and say, this is the most profound thing I've ever heard in my life. Thank you for sharing this. And I read what they wrote, and I didn't say that. Oh, yes, you did. I just heard you speak. I said, listen, I've never said that or thought about that. Of course, I said, you go listen to it, come back and tell me if I said it. They'll go back and listen to it. You know, you didn't say that. No, the Holy Spirit transformed the peace you need. Can I tell you, there is nothing greater in your life than to have that aspect of God moving in your life where you need Him. There's that we all desperately need. I know when Michelle and I first got married, and I took her to South Africa on our honeymoon. It sounds very romantic, but it wasn't. She had never left home before. And if you're planning your honeymoon, don't take your wife into a war zone. Because South Africa was in a civil war, not a smart thing to do. But we stopped in England, and we spoke in Bath, England, and I plugged in her curling iron. And it's 220 volts, and of course that's 110. But I bought an adapter so you could plug it into the wall. It adapted to the wall, but it didn't transform 220 to 110. I plugged that in, and that curling iron turned black like that and started to smoke. I pulled it out of the wall. I said, Michelle, a bad thing just happened out here. The Holy Spirit transforms it, all of God, into what you need. Jesus said it this way in John 16. He said, the Holy Spirit will glorify me, Jesus, for He will take, and listen to this, He will take of what is mine and declare it and show it to you. All things the Father has are mine. All things the Father has are mine. Therefore, I said, he will take of mine and declare it to you. Listen to what Jesus is saying the work of the Holy Spirit in your life is. He said, all things. Everybody say all things. How many think all things the Father has is more than I need? Would you agree with that? He said, all things the Father has, Jesus said, they're mine. And I'm telling you that the Holy Spirit will take of mine, which is all things the Father has, and he will teach it to you. There should be a desperation in my heart for that. Actually, there's a desperation in every heart for that. That's why sometimes it bothers me when church takes such sacred things and we make them into practices that scare people or that have no practical application. Jesus didn't come for people to have experiences. He came for people to be made free. Amen. He came for broken hearts. It's the first message he preached. The first thing he said out of his mouth when his public ministry was, I came to heal broken hearts. I came to take people who are in prison and let them out. Can I tell you something about most people in prison? Most of them deserve to be there. Now, there are some innocent people in prison, and I've visited a lot of people in prison, and everyone's innocent until they talk to you privately, and they say, well, I really did it. Jesus is saying prisoners typically are not, they're not innocent. But how many of you know Jesus wants to set free guilty people? That's what he's saying. The Holy Spirit wants to work in my life to set me free so I can live the life I was meant to live. No longer be defined by the worst moments of my life, the worst choices and behaviors of my life, and the worst choices and behaviors of others toward me. Do you realize as a child of God, you don't have to be defined by anything or anyone or any experience, no matter how heartbreaking, that God himself wants to heal your broken heart and broken life. Can I tell you that's why this church exists? It's why we just come here and we wait on God, and it's why I want to ask you to begin to understand that we've changed the way we do church services. At the end, church ain't over when I'm done speaking. It's just beginning. We've shortened the front end, so we have same amount of time, but we get in the presence of God on the back end, and I want you to learn to expect God to supernaturally move in these services in your life by the power of the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit and his intimacy in our life is so important that when Jesus was leaving the earth to ascend, one of the final things he said to his disciples was about the Holy Spirit. In fact, he gave them instruction that you need to have this understanding before you go and fulfill my commission to go into all the world and preach the gospel to every creature. In Acts 1, verse 4 and 5, listen to what Jesus said just prior to his ascension. And being assembled together with them, he's already risen from the dead. Jesus commanded them, everyone say commanded. This is not a suggestion. He commanded them not to depart from Jerusalem, but to wait for the promise of the Father, which he said, you have heard from me. For John truly baptized with water, but you shall be baptized with the Holy Spirit not many days from now. And he went on to say in verse 8, when you receive the Holy Spirit, you will be endued with power from on high, and it will equip you to be a witness to me throughout the world, to the other ends of the earth. Jesus said, go now into all the world and preach the gospel to every creature. But he said, do not go until you have been endued with power from on high. Do not try to do my work with human strength and human hands and human wisdom and human techniques. You must be empowered by me. If you're going to fulfill my purpose for your life, you will need my power for your life. And he said, do not leave Jerusalem until you receive this wonderful experience. Turned out on the day of Pentecost, when this occurred, there were just 120 people in an upper room. Think about this. Jesus has already ascended into heaven. He's entrusted the message of the gospel. I'm talking about the whole world coming to God, coming to Christ, having the opportunity to receive Jesus, to 120 people. That almost sounds crazy. Wouldn't you want to end it with 4 to 10 million people there in front of you? 120. Why? Because it doesn't take 4 million people full of God to change the world. It takes a human being yielded to God that God moves through their life. It doesn't take 4 million people to change your marriage. It takes God, the Holy Spirit, moving in a man and a woman, in a child, in a wayward kid, in a broken heart. He wants to do something amazing in your life. And the other baptism, the baptism with the Holy Spirit, is so important. And I want to, these next 2 weeks, I'm going to spend time each week teaching you about the intimacies of the Holy Spirit. So in Acts chapter 2 and verse 1, this event is now about to happen, which Jesus called the promise of the Father or the baptism with the Holy Spirit. And here's what it is. When the day of Pentecost had fully come, they were all with one accord in one place. Suddenly there came a sound from heaven as of a rushing mighty wind. It filled the whole house where they were sitting. There appeared to them divided tongues as of fire, and it sat on each of them. And they were all filled with the Holy Spirit and began to speak with other tongues as the Spirit gave them utterance. Everyone say, as the Spirit gave them utterance. These are not languages they knew. Well, I have the gift of tongues. I'm a linguistic expert. No. These are languages unknown to the speaker. Now, in this case, they were actually speaking in languages in the streets that others heard them declare the works of God in their tongue. And yet Corinthians tells us that when you pray in the Spirit or speak in other tongues, you may be speaking in the tongues of men or of angels. What an amazing thing that your inward man, the part of you that will live forever, your spirit filled of the Holy Spirit, can actually have its own language that you can utter out of your mouth that bypasses your mind. What an amazing gift to have in your life. So important. Now, let me be very clear. How many of you have given your life to Jesus? Wave at me. When you did that, the Bible said you became born again of the Spirit of God. So every Christian has the Holy Spirit in them right now. But there is a separate and subsequent experience called the baptism with the Holy Spirit. And I'll take you into more scriptures in the next couple of weeks. Please come back. That's why I wanted to ask people, come back to church. It's not so that you can do your ticket thing. God, look, I went to church 2 whole weeks. Hallelujah. This is so you can receive everyday life instruction to live in the power of God, to live in freedom your everyday life. And yet there is a separate experience. That's why Paul said the first thing, hey, since you believed in Jesus, have you received the Holy Spirit? That's how important it was. I know in my own life, the way I received the baptism of the Holy Spirit was a bit unique. And I was raised as a Catholic boy, and my mom had given her life to Jesus through a fantastic thing that originated in the Catholic Church. It swept the world. One of the greatest moves of God in the history of this nation was called the Catholic Charismatic Renewal, where literally millions upon millions upon millions upon millions upon millions of people became born again and filled with the Holy Spirit. It was amazing, and my mom had her life changed through that movement. She began to study the Bible and read the Bible and ended up kind of in a church like this, and it made everybody in my family very unhappy, particularly my father. None of us understood her. But I know this much, as a 16-year-old boy, over time, as she had been walking with God, I gave my life to Christ. And in that short window of time before I fell away, God did something incredible in my life. See, I had a series of boils on my body. A boil is a pimple times 1,000. I know. It's been a while since you've eaten. I'm sorry, but this is kind of gross. And if you're trying to lose weight, I'm about to help you, okay? You might not want to eat for a while. But I had 8 or 9 of these over and over again, and they're horrible. It takes literally weeks. They look like a little volcano on your body, and then they usually have to be lanced or cut open, and then they drain for a long time before they kind of go away. Well, I developed one on my right eye, so much so that it looked like you put a golf ball in my eyelid. It was so painful. But I'd had so many that I knew that it wasn't ready to be cut yet or lanced. And normally, after you'd had so many, we knew how to do that at our house. There was a way, and I won't go into it. But when you have one on your eyelid, it's a little different. So my mom, I asked her, please bring me to the doctor, because I was in so much pain, but I knew it wasn't ready to be cut yet. Isn't that special? And so he gives us whatever pills he gave us. It didn't work. It's 1 in the morning. My mom's putting hot compresses on my eye. You know how moms are. Finally, she's going to go to bed. She turns on the television. How many of you remember UHF stations? How many of you have never heard of a UHF station? Raise your hand at me. Okay, here's the thing. Bless your heart. YouTube it. It's an interesting thing to understand. There was a knob when you actually had to turn knobs on a television. Yes, actually, and telephones had cords. And by the way, did you know before cell phones, you could talk in one of those? Yeah, kids, listen to me. Listen, you know you guys have to text everything? You don't have to use Morse code. You can talk in that thing. Okay, I'm sorry. I'm just teasing. Anyway, and so my mom, and she gets me to Channel 53. She puts on the 700 Club. How many of you have heard of the 700 Club? Pat Robertson? And you may have a good or negative opinion. I don't know. I love the 700 Club. I love CBN. I love Pat Robertson. Amen. Now, somebody might say, well, that's fine. So I have a different opinion. I don't care. God's used the man wonderfully. Well, I don't like how God's used him. He didn't ask my permission or yours. So I don't agree with everything he said. I don't agree with everything I've ever said. But God used that man and that ministry to change my life. One in the morning, I'm watching this broadcast, laying on the couch, and Pat Robertson and Ben Kinchlow were praying together. And Pat Robertson had what the Bible calls a word of knowledge. It's one of the gifts of the Holy Spirit. And all it really is God giving a fragment, a word, a piece of his knowledge about a person, either their present or their past, that you could never know in any other way. It comes by revelation, and it's a gift of the Holy Spirit. You don't know everything about a person. It's just a fragment for the benefit of that person. And I'm laying on that couch, and Pat Robertson says, as they're praying, he stops and he said, there's a 16-year-old boy watching with a boil on his right eye, and God wants to heal him. I literally said, what? And he repeated it. I'm having a conversation with a television set. And I'm telling you, I'm kind of afraid. It was shocking to me. Years later, when I was being interviewed on a Christian television interview program, told this story, and the person knew the history of how CBN used to get their materials out, said, at that time when this happened to you, it was probably 2 weeks tape delayed. Isn't God amazing? He says somebody say something, 2 weeks, it's sent to Pittsburgh. It's shown on Channel 53. At 1 a.m, I'm laying there. And he says that. So what did you do? I didn't know what to do. I'm not kidding. Here's what I just went, okay. I was just, literally overcome. Like, oh my gosh, no one's going to believe this. And then he asked, went on and said, if you'd like to receive Jesus, and I knew I had already done that. Then he said this, if you desire to be filled with the Holy Spirit, I'm going to pray. You ask God to fill you. Well, I didn't know what that meant. Remember, Father, Son, Holy Spirit, that's all I got. So I thought, well, I know the Holy Spirit's good. I said, okay, well, I'm just kind of overwhelmed. So I said, okay, that's all I said. He prayed. Now, when he finished praying, it felt like, I'm not saying anything that physically happened to me. I couldn't see anything. What it felt like is like somebody threw a blanket. I felt like something fall on me. I find myself praying in a language I don't know. You have to understand, other tongues to me is Italian. That's what my grandparents spoke. I don't even know what that means. And I don't know how long I prayed that way. It could have been a moment or an hour. I don't know. I fell asleep praying that way. I woke up and the boil was gone. And I've never had another one since. I love the 700 Club. Now, so that just completely irrational. Can I tell you something about a God that has to fit in your head? He is one stinking little God. Because your head ain't that big and you ain't that smart. Here's the reality. Why'd God do that? Because he's kind. Amen. And he's good. And I woke up and my whole house, I woke everybody up. It's gone. And let me tell you, I know how long it takes one to go away. And this one wasn't even ripe. And I've never had another one since. But that's how I received the baptism of the Holy Spirit. But you know in the Bible, there are only two initial outpourings, and I'll show you these in the coming weeks. But every other time, people had to be prayed for through the laying on of hands. And again, people come to me through the years, and they say, that laying on of hands thing scares me. Y'all do that hands thing in your church? You mean the doctrine of the laying on of hands in the Bible that says it's one of the six foundational principles of Christ, that if you don't understand it, you can't go on to maturity and perfection? You mean that? Oh, it's in the Bible? Sure is. And again, I'm not talking about getting weirded out. I'm not talking about somebody walking up to you and going, yay, yahoo, hallelujah, and weirding you out. I didn't say that. That's not in the Bible for someone to weird you out. You lay hands on. Anyway, I'm going to give you an opportunity today to be filled with the Holy Spirit. That's why we're here. I don't want you to have theory. I want you to leave filled with the Spirit. I'm going to finally read this, and then we're going to pray. In John chapter 7, Jesus is about to declare something about the Holy Spirit that he's declaring to you and to me right now today. On that last day, the great day of the feast, Jesus stood and cried out. Everyone say he cried out. And then he said something. He said, if anyone thirsts, let him come to me and drink. Now, let me stop. Most of us, when we think of Jesus speaking, for whatever reason, Hollywood has decided to give him an English accent and blue eyes. But he would look more like an Arab today than he would look like some guy that fell out of Sweden. And he didn't talk like this. If anyone thirsts, let him come to me and drink. It's not what he did. He didn't speak in Elizabethan English. By the way, Elizabeth wasn't born yet. No offense if you love Jesus talking like this, you see. Quiet, you see. It's not Jesus. Now, here's the deal. The Bible said he cried this out. He was at the feast. People are everywhere. He starts shouting this. And I want you to hear it somehow how he might have said it that day when he said this. He cried out of his heart and he said, if anyone thirst, let him come to me and drink. For out of his innermost being will flow rivers of living water. Come to me. Now, how many of you know that changed the feast a little bit? But the scripture goes on to say in this. Listen to what it said. But this he spoke concerning the Holy Spirit, that those believing in him, is that you? Should receive. For the Holy Spirit was not yet given because Jesus was not yet glorified. Here's what Jesus is saying today. For everyone. Everyone say everyone. This is for everybody, everybody, everybody. If anybody is thirsty for me, let him come and I'll give you water. And I'll give you water that will never stop. I will give you a fountain of water, of living water, a river that not a pond, not a cesspool, not a little lake, not, I'm talking about an unending river of living water called the person of the Holy Spirit that will change your life. You'll never thirst again because it's living water. He said, you come to me. And today Jesus would ask you the same question as he would ask me. Are you thirsty? That's all it takes to receive. Jesus, I want this. I want the fullness of what you have for me. There are two basic reasons why people don't receive the Holy Spirit. One is ignorance, which produces fear. And that's solved by understanding the scripture. But can I tell you the second one that's even worse, more difficult to overcome, is that when you think of God moving in your life this way, most people disqualify themselves. Most people say, I'm not ready for God to do this for me. You don't know, man. Last thing that I was speaking, it sounded like tongues was not good talk, okay? So listen, I've got some messed up stuff in my life. There's no way God can fill me. Jesus said, I want to give you everything that's the Father's and reveal it and give it to you by the Holy Spirit. I'll close with this, and we're going to pray for people who desire to be Spirit-filled today. Years ago, Michelle and I were speaking at a church, and at the end, we were praying for people. And there were about 35, 40 people, somewhere in that number, and I'm praying for them all to be filled with the Holy Spirit through the laying on of hands. And I went to lay hands on a man. At that time, I thought he was an old guy, but he was probably about my age or a few years older. But I thought he was old as dirt. But he's my age now. So I would say now he was a young man. And the minute I laid hands on him, God gave me a word of knowledge for him. I didn't ask for it. It just happened. And I can explain it this way. The second I touched him, it was like an understanding, like you'd read two paragraphs about someone's life and you understood it like that. But the moment I went to pray for him, there was this sorrowful cry. He began to go, oh God, please fill me. And he began to cry and beg God to fill him with the Spirit. Right before I got to him, the minute I touched him, I had this word of knowledge. So I calmed him down. I said, sir, I could be wrong. I'm not telling you that God talked to me. I'm just telling you that I feel like he gave me something for you. And I feel so certain that it's for you. But if this doesn't mean anything to you, please, I'm sorry. I just made a mistake. I said, but here's what I believe he showed me for you. The minute I touched you, here's what I knew about you. That many years ago, you got divorced. And when you did, you thought you could never get back to God. And it wasn't because he got divorced. It's what he did to cause the divorce and how he lived afterwards. And you think that God doesn't, God's never going to accept you. God's never going to want to help you again. Because and I know you've asked him to forgive you a million times. And and when I finished, and then I simply said this, you need to know that the reason God spoke this to my heart was to tell you that he so desperately wants you to be free. And that past is gone to him. And he no longer holds it against you. And you don't have to live under that shadow any longer. He began to cry and sob. And when I tell you sob, from his toes. And he sobbed and he sobbed. And I just waited. And when he finally stopped crying, all I did, I went to just barely, I didn't barely touch him. I was here's how I prayed. In the name of Jesus, receive the Holy Spirit. That's all I said. And before I could say a word and I touched him, he threw up both hands and began to praise God in this glorious language. Is this fountain of freedom poured out of this man? And the pastor told me later, this man for over 40 years of his life, 40 years, even before he had gotten divorced, had hungered and cried out to be filled with the Holy Spirit. 40 years trying to find something that was a free gift that he tried to keep earning. So my concern for you today is not that you're ignorant, because you've heard enough scripture that you're not ignorant anymore. But you, like that man, can give yourself a lot of boundaries that God can't do this for me yet. Let me tell you, God can do it for you right now. Right now. Would you stand together with me today? Our worship team's coming back up right now. The service is not over. Even after we get through to this part, I'm telling you, God the Holy Spirit wants to do miracles in this place. He wants to manifest his presence. Would you bow your heads and close your eyes with me? If you're here today and you say to me, Pastor John, I've never been baptized with the Holy Spirit as the scripture says. I'm a believer, but I've never received this Bible experience and I want to. I don't like to surprise people or tell them one thing and do another. Let me explain to you what's going to happen if you want to receive the Holy Spirit today. In a moment, I'm going to ask you to acknowledge it through an uplifted hand. Then I'm going to ask you, as we worship God together, to come out of your seats and go to the center tunnels, and there will be people that will walk you right back to the Our Church room, which is our former bookstore. And privately, people will sit with you and explain to you, answer your questions if you have them, and pray for you. Last night, 50-plus people were filled with the Holy Spirit last night. I don't know how many at 9 o'clock, and I'm telling you. So how many will be today? As many as are thirsty. It's not up to God. It's up to you. So if you're here today and you say, I want that kind of intimacy with God. I want the fullness of the Holy Spirit in my life. And I want someone to pray for me today, as in the scripture, to be filled with the Holy Spirit. So with every head bowed and every eye closed, if you're here and you would say to me, Pastor John, I want to be prayed for today to be filled with the Holy Spirit, right where you're standing, would you be bold enough just to wave your hand, lift your hand, wave it at me so I could see it? Yeah, there are hands everywhere. Listen, up in the risers, every one of you, listen to me. God wants to do something great in your life today. In a moment, excuse me, I'm going to grab this microphone from you. Thank you. Sorry, let me grab this. In a moment, I'm going to ask you, as we go into worship, if you raised your hand to simply, as we're worshiping God, you just simply come out of your seat, go to these two center tunnels, and there are people there right now that will walk you right back there. You will be done before we're finished over here, more than likely. And so all you have to do is act, and God will fill you with His Spirit because He loves you so much. I'm going to pray for you. We're going to celebrate with you, and then we're going to go in the presence of God together. When we sing together now, I want you to forget about this little bit of time we have left. Forget your clock, and let's worship God together, and let's see what God wants to do right now by the power of the Holy Spirit in this room in the lives of people. So let me pray for those who raised their hand, and let's trust God together for them. Father, I thank you in Jesus' name for every person with an uplifted hand. I thank you that right now, as they step out of those seats in a moment to go and be prayed for, that their life will change forever, and they'll have that intimacy with the Holy Spirit at a whole nother level. I thank you for that, and I thank you for boldness for them to step out. In Jesus' name, amen. Would you give them a great hand? Come on, come on, give them a hand as they get out of those seats. Be bold about it. Get out of your seat right now and go get prayed for, and we believe God with you. Let's all continue to worship God together. Let's see what He wants to do in the remaining time we have together. Praise God. You know, it's when you come together as His people, His presence is so real. That's why the Bible tells us to pray one for another that we might be healed. There's things that happen in the presence of God together that doesn't happen, that won't happen simply alone. That's why the Bible said we're members one of another. I want you to begin to expect, when you come to this church, that God, by His power, moves into your life. I don't care if it's a relational situation, if you feel like you're hanging by a thread, maybe it's your past that's dogged you. Maybe there's a sickness that's so debilitating in your life. Jesus Christ is the same yesterday, today, and forever, and I believe God. I believe He's the same, and the same power of God that moved then can move right now in this day, 2017, for you. But sometimes we're so used to just kind of putting on our mask, trying to fight through life by ourselves. When you come together as a church, the reason we come together is to worship God and to submit to Him. And yet there's something great that can happen when you lay your need before a living God in His presence. And I don't have time to take you to scripture after scripture after scripture. But I want our prayer partners to come right now. And I want to invite you, as we worship God together and we continue to worship, you might be here today and you're in need. I don't care what it is. You say, yeah, but what would someone think of me? No one's going to think anything negatively of you. This church is not here to judge you. Everybody has stuff. Everybody needs a Savior. And here's what I'm believing God for. When prayer partners pray for you, I don't care what your need is. We serve a living God. Man, I wish I had time to talk to you about the gifts of the Spirit. The gifts of the Holy Spirit. It's incredible what He can do. He can do in a moment, what you won't feel and experience in a lifetime on your own. I want you to begin to so hunger for God that when you come here, you say, God, what are you going to do for me today? What chains are going to be broken on my life? What miracle am I going to see? Where can I be a miracle today? I'm telling you, it will change the way you live your life. Come to church and get your life changed. We're going to continue to worship God. And as you sing about the Holy Spirit, you're welcome here. Don't talk about the building. Talk about you. You're welcome here in me. God, do a great work in me today. As we continue to worship the Lord, if you have any needs in your life, I want to encourage you to come and meet with a prayer partner. If you're here today and you've never given your life to Jesus, or you're far from God, and you've lived your life outside of His love for you, He wants to change that for you right now. Very quickly, with every head bowed and every eye closed, if you're here today and you say, Pastor John, I don't know that if I died today, where I'd spend my forever. Or I am a Christian, but I'm far from God, and I want that restoration. I want to walk in that cleansing flood. I want to walk knowing that I'm forgiven and my past is gone. If either one of those apply to you, would you just simply raise your hand right where you're standing, and I'll pray for you. Do it quickly. I'm going to pray for you right where you're standing. Sure, there are hands everywhere. God bless you. Pray this out loud together with me, everybody, and this will apply to both of you that raised your hands in both counts. Pray it where you hear it. We'll pray it together with you. Say, Father, thank you for Jesus. I open my heart to you. I turn from my past. Jesus, come into my life. I receive you now to be my Savior, to be my Lord. Thank you for forgiving me, making me brand new. I am a child of God, and my best days are in front of me. Amen. Amen. Father, we celebrate with every person that raised their hand. If you prayed with me today, as we continue to worship God, I'm going to ask you to do something. Come out of that seat and meet with a prayer partner and tell them what you prayed and tell them what you need. And why don't you leave here with a miracle? Why don't maybe you leave here with your family put back together, your heart put back together, your body put back together? Why not let God be God? You came to church, you might as well eat the whole meal. Come on, man. How many of you want all that He has for you? Let's lift our hearts. Let's lift our hands in expectation. You have any needs in your life, in everything I've said, you come forward. We're believing God with you. Let's pray. Father, I thank you for every person that has any need in their life, that they will leave this place having been touched by your glory and your power. We worship you. We worship you. Let's worship Him together.
Thank you for listening to this teaching from Victory Family Church. We pray that you were blessed by God's word. For additional teaching, resources, and podcasts, as well as information on who we are and our upcoming events, please visit our website, lifeatvictory.com.